Any declarations of interest? No? Okay, just before we start, just there is an event on one of the books this evening which involves the dedication to former transfers in the park, so there is a few transfers that are open to attend it, so are going to try and get the meeting finished as quickly as we can, so people can go good. So if they seem to be rushing through a bit, I don't know what we do, but it's for a good reason this evening. Number three on the action sheet. Does anybody have any reason for this? No, happy enough, then we move on to the presentation. The proposal and the second are just for the ERG action sheet. Proposed motion, second and take. Thank you. We move on to the presentations then. The first presentation is from Landing Communications, and it's the Blue Innovation Nation. And Katie Thorne is going to take us through this one. You're very welcome, Katie.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me here today to give a debrief on the inaugural Innovation Nation event, which took place earlier this year in September. Just before I go through the slides, I just want to take a step back to reflect on the key objectives for developing the technology-focused initiative. And they were to position your area as a great place to locate, that's whether you're FDI or an Indigenous startup, highlight the pipeline of talent in the city and wider district area, and showcase many of the fast-track technology companies already operating in Uri to create a perception of a cluster in the city. So just to take you back, I'm just going to play a video and just to remind you, or for those of you that weren't able to attend.
Today has been about action, innovation, doing that, about some of Uri's most successful business, technological, and in the end of his mind, meeting up and showing the world what Uri born and done is the same for you to start, develop, and indeed grow your business. It's Innovation Nation 2018.
I think it was a good event for Uri. It's been a very good system with public texting. And this event gives us a good chance to showcase what's happening here and encourage others. And this is a fantastic place to do business.
During morning day, with a great young population, one of the youngest populations of all the Mr. Council areas. So we've got a lot of young people in here. Why would we start out young, having business in this area? It's great.
You mentioned it on very well, and I think it's from the young people, from the entrepreneurs, as well as established respected long term business, participating, learning, sharing, best practices.
I still kind of feel the general lack of confidence in person with innovators. All of Ireland, myself, but I'm very outside of big cities. If you like, how can I create something in a town like Uri, feeling like Uri? That could be global, that could be big enough, that is worth the risk in terms of the effort, it's worth all the hard work. And the thing I found when I was 10 years old, it would never be easier to start a business.
Of young people coming through that they need this program.
So as the video highlighted there were three different aspects to Innovation Nation. There was a full day program which had over 350 delegates, 30 speakers, 14 different panel sessions, 12 sponsoring companies and partners, and over 60 pieces of media coverage. The program ran throughout the day, and as I said, had a number of different panel sessions that covered lots of different aspects of technology and also the future of the workplace. In terms of the look and feel of the event, we really wanted to kind of up the level of the event, so we put quite a lot of investment into the branding and the look and feel in the town hall. We wanted to use that space specifically because it is going under a regeneration program within the city, and we wanted to get people in and around the art centre, the town hall, and the space behind where the Coley Art is. And so we wanted to really be very eye-catching with all of the branding. And as I said, this was an event that wouldn't have looked out of place in any city across the UK or Ireland. Many of you will have been there that day, and you will have been aware of some of the speakers, including Brian Conlon, Professor Kathy Craig, Mark Little, and of course the great support from the two universities, both Queen's University and the University of Ulster. We also ran a startup competition that day, and that was the first as well for the city, and we called it a friend to fit in with the landscape around the Newry city area. There was a prize package put together of £50,000, which was quite significant. £3,000 of that was cash, the rest of it was made up in support from law firms, fantasy firms, and Lennon Communications also invested in that. There were 34 applicants at the outset, and this was shortlisted to 13 companies who came to Newry that day and pitched their ideas, their startup in the Arts Centre. And indeed, the winner, Smart Roots, which is a company, a startup company located in Cork, they've actually been back into Newry since and are looking at landing one of their first major contracts in the city. So there's actually been quite a nice closure to the Ascend competition. But we really had a great level of interest in Ascend, and we had some fantastic companies come through and pitch their ideas. Here's some of the photographs from the Ascend competition, including the winner from Smart Roots. And then in the evening of day one, we had the Innovation Nation 2018 dinner, which was once again first an inaugural dinner, really celebrating the tech scene in Newry. This was sponsored by Norbert Laboratories as part of their Norbert 50 Years celebration. And in fact, Norbert first awarded Staffsport, KPMG, and Best and I get very generously to this initiative over the 2 days. So we had 200 guests. Fireside chat with Brian Conlon from First Derivatives, with the technology editor of the Irish Times, Charlie Taylor. We had a keynote speech from Liam Nagle of Norbrook, and it was opened by your councillor, Mark Murray, your chair of Newry Moore and Down District Council. The Ascend winner was announced at the dinner, and we had performances from the local musical team, Ruat, who, as you know, are a sort of company themselves, and these musical instruments which they export. So we were delighted to be able to weave in lots of local aspects into the dinner, and the dinner really was a fantastic success with the drinks reception beforehand in the cafe between the Arts Centre and the Town Hall. And once again, here's just some shots to show you what the space looked like and how to use the space on the evening of the Innovation Nation dinner for those of you that maybe weren't able to attend. But it really was a fantastic dinner, and there was great excitement and buzz in the room. Just some more photos. So day two was all about the school kids from the council area, and we were really, really excited about the day of ambition because we had so many fantastic technology companies who were very generous both of their time and their resource, and to bring the technology into the city to allow the school kids to play and engage and get excited about the technologies of the future.
We have 200 students taking from schools right across the Nurrymore and down to council area, and a total of 14 schools. All of the grammar secondary schools were invited to take part in 14 schools engagement initiatives. We had 7 different speakers, there was a series of presentations and workshops, and we had 7 innovative companies exhibiting, including some of the local companies, Scott Sports, Noah Group, and Mr. Rizzo's. So it really was a fantastic day, and the feedback from both the schools, the teachers, and the students at the event was very positive. And once again, I'm just including some images in the corner. She's chief executive in one of the hoodies, Mr. Julian Hathaway, at Innovation Nation.
No.
Mutton
versus lamb.
Engaging with some of the technology, and I have to say they really, really enjoyed playing with the technology from Stat Sports. I think that was probably one of the most popular on the day. As well as Norbrook, a lot of kids really enjoyed the technology or the chemistry lab that Norbrook set up in the Arts Centre. In terms of media coverage, it was really important that we actually took a message about Newry City outside of Newry. And as I said at the beginning, we had over 60 pieces of media coverage. One of probably the most strongest pieces of coverage was the fact that Wendy Austin from BBC Inside Business came down to Newry on the day of Innovation Nation, and she ran the programme from the Arts Centre that day. And so that was a really nice addition to the normal media coverage that an event like this would have received. But we had coverage across the Belfast Telegraph, Irish News, Irish Times, from the Business Post, as well as a lot of your local media, the New Reporter and the Democrat. So in all, we have over 60 pieces of media coverage, 996,000 views through the social media networks, and 249 shares on social media. So we set up the Twitter account, Innovation Nation, and we use that to engage with the local audiences and those that want to get on board and find out a little bit more about the technology thing in the Greenland Down at your council area. And there's just some more stats in terms of the level of impressions and engagements from the Twitter activity. As many of you know, we have been a real lot of time at Collateral, and we really wanted to make sure that the kids on day two had a fantastic experience that day of Ambition, and I'm sure this is something that they will remember from this year at school. We do have an Innovation Nation website that was set up for this particular event, and it's still there, and that's maybe something that the council can continue to use and integrate with their columns around technology in the council area.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, sir.
Excellent. I suppose we're there, we'll just have a meeting. So it was nice to have that, and it showed you, I mean, you're the people who were there, people who were putting money where their lives are, for instance, Grant Holman, and sports group that are facing really well. And our town hall really performed well on the night as well, and it shows how well it can be utilised for the man to do that. We had just recently announced a huge project for that entire area, which we must invest in, which can even improve what we have to offer in that kind of project. It's been long enough for a number of years, but there is a good time to develop it. And this, you know, with the way of this conference here, showcasing here, to show what we have to offer. Action plan, the lady was there. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Any other counselors? Anything to comment?
Yeah. Aye.
Good evening. Thank you. Just to say, as far as the school involved in Carthage, I thought was a really good idea, and the reason for mine from the our end of the district, as I say, and those two attempts from down Patrick Way, and we will fairly enjoy it and find it that interesting. Thank you.
Guy? Yeah, thanks, sir. Again, I just confirm with the previous figures and think about the ladies and all of them. Those going forward, we probably should have at least, you know, so that we will do it every year or every second year, but look at what we can do now because, you know, we don't want to lose that behind them.
Thanks, sir.
When the guys are getting started up, just to sort of set context, this, I suppose this is a project or a piece of work that we've been working on probably for the last 12 to 18 months. I think I brought a proposal back to you that, you know, we're having a number of discussions for the council, governance for the council, fingers for the council and loud for the council about the idea about how we could actually provide connectivity. I suppose the long term vision takes into our previous conversation about how we position the city area and indeed through Newry, Dundalk, metropolitan area in terms of connectivity. It's a big issue we've got in terms of the economic driver that the eastern corridor is between Belfast and Dublin. But again, we wanted a corridor that's connected. We don't want a corridor that's a tunnel really from one area to the other. So it's incredibly important that we in Newry Morton Down and Louth County Council have been working together to actually look at how we can improve that. So the whole idea is that you think of this area 2030 plus in terms of how we get people skilled. So we have companies like First Round Staff Sports, you know, Norbert within this area, how they can get access to employment. So it's not all people from our area moving to Belfast, moving to Dublin. It's about how you do that. So the whole idea is try and create this vision whereby you can get to Dublin, to Belfast, on a half-hour basis, inside an hour. And that's what you could get from Newry, and Newry Moor, and down, and Louth area, how you can get to Dublin within 30 minutes. Or you can get that, or you can get to Belfast in 30 minutes and get that inside a half an hour or on a regular basis. At this point in time, though, that's a role for the Department for Infrastructure and for the Department for Transport and South. But while we engage in this piece of work and partner with ARP, and indeed ARP were a contributor to the project along with the councils, to actually say, listen, let's get out of it. It's called a pre-feasibility piece of work to actually do that. So probably just try, Dan and Paul, just to sort of set the context, I think, for members, so they remember where we're coming from in this. So, happy to share, I'm going to pass over now.
Yeah, just pass over to Paul and Leon, and if we get us to it, just check on that one, and it's your turn.
Go ahead. Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you, Leo, for that context. So I'm going to give you a very quick summary of the report that we produced at this stage, and give you an indication of where that's going. But I think it's worth saying, you know, this is a partnership piece of work across the five local authorities in this Eastern Seaboard Corridor, working with ourselves to try and identify what it looks like, what it could be, and where the value, crucially where the value could come from to help position this idea. So we start off with then sort of, you know, why rail, and you know, fundamentally this may seem like an infrastructure project and a transport infrastructure project, but actually it's an economic project. This is about economic growth and economic potential of the corridor. And it's recognised that there is so much potential, and the question really is how can transport infrastructure help unlock some of that potential even further to a greater extent, and to position this area, and particularly in an international context as much as anything, and looking at what that quality and frequency and speed of service might need to be to really achieve that true potential. And I think really, in terms of summary, you know, we concluded that really the ingredients are right for this kind of transformation. And what we mean by that is we're looking at population numbers, we're looking at the planned growth, and through your own local development plan process and through those of others in the region, and the growth is very clearly now being started to be articulated. Looking at the employment patterns and how those have been changing, and looking into that whole new tech sector and everything else that's coming through, in terms of the complementary economic system that's working right across the Eastern Corridor. Looking at the global connections, recognising what local government therefore has to play, and looking at what's really happening in the housing market, what has happened in the past, and what the trajectory is going forward, and how do you know, those elements of actually making sure that we have people in the right places with the right skills, access to the right housing to really deliver that population growth and deliver all the economic gain and benefits that can come from it. And I think it's fair to say, I think we've been quite diplomatic in saying currently falls short of passenger expectations in terms of the current rail journey. And here we've given a spectrum of what's good, and this is based on data and analysis that we have. But we know, you know, anybody here, I'm sure on the train to Belfast or Dublin or anywhere in between, recognises, you know, the infrequent journey times, the uncertainty sometimes in terms of journey times and the reliability associated with that. The need for some form of connections into the airports. Belfast Central, yes, it is changing, and there's plans for Belfast Hub, and that's moving, but still we have issues in Dublin with Connolly and a number of others, and overcrowding at peak hours as well. So the current rail service is there, it's fine, and there are plans for investment by TransLink and Irish Rail, and we're looking just to how to really build on some of those plans. So just in terms of comparison, in terms of those railway journeys and passengers, there's a lot of data there, but I'll just show you and draw your attention to the graphic on the right-hand side, where you can see current end-to-end journeys between Belfast and Dublin sits around 180,000 passenger journeys in the year. Compare that to Cork sitting at 630,000 passenger journeys. That's been driven, and that change is largely driven by an Irish service. And that's quite a phenomenal. So you see a big shift there, where over half of the journeys between Cork and Dublin are by public transport. And what would that mean? What would that look like if you could translate something similar in a Belfast Dublin corridor as well? And in terms of those journey times, it isn't just about what's happening now in Ireland, it's internationally what's happening. And there is significant movement for partner cities to really improve their connectivity, because they see that as the key to unlocking economic potential. So at the minute, you see Belfast Dublin is quite an outlier in terms of that sort of 130-minute journey time for just over 100 miles. We kind of thought, what would that look like if it was a 60-minute journey time? And where would that position me? And it's interesting, we'll just draw your attention to the Frankfurt Cologne graphic there, just sitting beside Belfast to Dublin. And that's where they have done a significant amount of investment to really connect those two cities. And if I can just show you how that is comparable to Belfast to Dublin. Cologne, Frankfurt, the population size is at 1.7 million, we're talking about 2.5 million. So we're at a sort of better starting position for population. They have taken their 110-mile journey down to 1 hour. Our 100-mile journey takes you at least 2 hours. The interesting thing about this example is they have also deliberately taken a little spur downwards out to the south towards international airport, the Frankfurt International Airport, and also dotted some of the intermediate towns as well. And just to note that those intermediate towns have seen significant improvements in economic activity, and 2.7% increase in economic activity associated with that rail stop, and the vibrancy that it's brought to those economies there as well. So really, I suppose what we've said is for this kind of project to be successful, there's a number of key strategic objectives that you would like to see. Firstly, it is about that inclusive, sustainable economic growth along the corridor. And as Liam said, that's about giving you access to skilled workforce and job opportunities. So it wouldn't be without the realm of possibility to say, you know, people in Belfast could live in Belfast if they really want to, but actually they've been working for a certain area. And that community is a nice, easy community that you just wouldn't think of. and perhaps it's even be quicker than getting across Belfast itself. And similarly in terms of Dublin and the access and connectivity right through the south as well. In terms of the strength, you know, there's a lot of evidence to show that these complementary economic systems and playing on the strength. So there's a real, you know, you saw yourself there, the real innovation strength you have in Europe. How does that compare with the strength of Fingal and life and really to bring complementarity? Housing has already mentioned commercial development alongside that. International competitiveness with the Dublin Airport Hub, and of course addressing some of the environmental challenges around long-term power dependence as well. So those would be the main strategic objectives for this project. And what that really would look like in terms of infrastructure is about a 60-minute journey time Belfast to Dublin, at least two trains per hour, probably one fast, one semi-fast, and that's semi-fast to having a more frequent stopping service. The connection to the Dublin Airport, we see, is quite important to make sure that's successful and get the patronage levels that you would expect. And to, crucially, to integrate with the wider public transport network. So it's not just about the towns that are directly on the route, but with the draw in from all the surrounding areas as well, and the connectivity of public transport to those main central hubs would be really important. And to do that, there is a long journey time, and it's not to say that this project is a simple project, and it would certainly probably be one of the largest infrastructure projects this island has ever seen. However, you know, there is an incremental process to delivering something of this size and scale, but crucially, it's about having that long-term vision and working towards achieving the long-term vision but starting today, rather than leaving it for the next 5 or 10 years to then decide to start to work on it. So you can see the level of short-term commitments have already been made by TransLink and Irish Rail. Those to be built upon, and there are plans, particularly in the Dublin area, for improved transport connectivity. And then the longer-term vision about the alignment, the rail link potentially got through Dublin towards Cork, and really increasing capacity and building on those new, more frequent services. And in terms of how, you know, that potentially can be used, we look at models now in terms of innovation for funding revised about identifying where the value is being created and then capturing that value to help fund the project. And here's just a suite of elements. And generally what we're seeing is these large infrastructure projects are made up of a mix of a number of different revenue streams and funding streams. To capture that value, whether that be in terms of increased yields from property or whether that's in terms of the operators, and using a mix of funding streams to help move towards actually delivering a project on the ground. So for next steps for this is really hopefully helps address the question of is there any reason why this project doesn't make sense? And very clearly, you know, all of our analysis has shown this does make sense for this region. And that's the project positioning phase. The next stage is really to move towards defining that project. What is it? Where is it? What would that look like? Doing some level of a sort of high level strategic outline business case to really start to articulate not only how you would do it, why you would do it, but also the benefits, and crucially to actually really try to capture those benefits and really outline those in a more positive way. So that, as I said, you know, we recognise that there is a significant degree of stakeholder engagement. That process has started and will continue across various wide stakeholder groups to work towards understanding really what that market travel is, the complication of those benefits, and really trying to create a model whereby this is something that's deliverable right across the future. So I'll leave you just with two brief quotes. One is from IBEX, who are a strong supporter of the project, and they see the benefits to the entire economic border in terms of labour, catching barriers for employers, and investment. And similarly then, with CDI, the chief economist, and CDI, about how better connections between cities really does drive productivity and prosperity, and that's complementary to some of their own work that they've produced as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand the presentation, sir. Certainly there's no doubt about it. To get down from either a half hour service, but even an hourly service, and currently, if you're related to that, you see that the value train, the next train that you can find, from Dublin, 7 o'clock, the long wait, and you know, it's not flexible, and you know, quite a bit of it. So moving to more radio service, the other thing there about the airport, practically get to access all the airport, it's not a practical solution to use the train, the center of marketing. And so even though the train line actually physically travels quite close, I mean, if they want to head there to the airport, there's no link on. So that would be, and even going back a year or so, the space of travel has done there for a huge international airport now. So in the meantime, I think certainly this is going to have to book in more. The bulk service has moved on to the XI service that went on to the Dublin and stops the airport hourly, and certainly during the day, it's a dedicated area to Dublin service. But we need to keep that going and develop that further in the interim with it. Where this project is being developed, and the timeline is there, it'll certainly increase the speed in Belfast to Dublin train, but in doing so, I think the thing we get from the point where you really need to know it on the stop, so we have something to do to make sure that we can keep that in there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Andy, for coming along and giving us this amazing presentation. Certainly, I don't think anybody here in the chamber who is a real of the whole project. It's certainly something we should be aiming to do. But looking at the figures, we've been disappointed just to see, you know, how the long that you talk about commencing to appear in 2023 and expanding right down to 2030-35, which, you know, I just wonder how that's compared to other, you know, developed countries as well, who, for example, did their own grant for the long to take the end to it. So that's one aspect of it. I do feel that you did allude to the full flight of Dublin Airport, and I think how that is envisaged, because if you're getting into Dublin, then again, that's presented difficulty. I know there has been talk about, you know, some sort of a link between Connolly and Dublin Airport, in the area and south and such. So I do think there should be some sort of support off there that was possible, and in short, that would be probably very short-sighted. Again, you didn't mention what type of cost would be involved and the source of the funding from it. And the last one, at least, but the horror for you all, we would hope you wouldn't have any customs checks in Belfast in the future either. Just to leave it, just comments on those, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for those. So just taking each of those in turn, time for projects to be realised, you could argue that's as long as it's a thing in terms of infrastructure terms. But in terms of comparable projects, you mean just here today in the news, this is the Crossfield project in London, for example. So they are, you know, we do recognise that it has additional complexities of two jurisdictions and two planning regimes. So in terms of bringing it forward and getting those first projects initiated, we have to be very cognizant of a very robust plan process on the track, but they're robust. But that robustness takes time. So I think in terms of the actual project, what we're trying to articulate is an overarching vision for the project, that may well be delivered in a number of sequences and phases. And that's probably what will be realistic. But for us, what's really crucial is that there is a very clear commitment to the overall vision. So whereby we could say, you know, there could be improvements getting access into Dublin. We all know the constrained access into Dublin Colony, for example, and how that can actually impact journey times and the reliability of those journeys. So there could be elements along the way that incrementally would unlock it. So it's not that we have to wait until 2035 to have grand opening. It would be incremental improvements, and that's certainly what we would be advocating, and that would be a regular programme of improvements over the next 10 years, rather than simply a grand opening at the end. And secondly, in terms of the link to Dublin Airport, we agree that we think that's really important and really vital for the success of the whole network, but also for the economic success of that corridor. So there's questions around where the terminal, for example, would be in Dublin. And that's part of a detailed engineering process that would need to be commenced, the start of which would be in the next phase of work, about auctioneering to see where that might be, and that would help them inform how we would go potentially via Dublin Airport to get into Dublin and back out again. So So there's a number of various iterations in our engineers are just starting to get grips with it. Always, there's a process to be done around doing that. So that's something that certainly we would agree is really, really important. In terms of cost and the source of funding, I showed up the slide there that showed how you can capture value in various different ways. And as I said, the models that really being used right around the world, in Hong Kong, in France, in the UK, are all about various different funding streams all being used collectively to support the major infrastructure projects. And we're not looking at one big lump sum probably, but we're missing a model. And that's where the innovation comes in terms of how you fund it. In terms of the cost, we need to let our engineers loose in order to cost what they're designing. So that's why we've deliberately at this stage having just put the cost on it. The next piece of work would allow us to identify what those options are, where the preferred options would be, and give some indicative costings around that option in the process. And finally, border control. Who knows? We'll wait and see what the next 3 months
bring.
But there is a view that, you know, there's real connectivity. If you live cross routes and cross borders around Europe, you're going through train journeys and you don't even know you're crossing border. And so in a way, this project is the answer to unlocking a lot of those problems, especially with COVID-19.
Yes, I believe this document's in your papers for today. And this is a vision that Northern Ireland Railways and IMO there have put together. And that is to deliver a 90-minute journey by 2035, whereas they've been working with the councils to have a much grander vision. So we have now started to engage with TransLink, Northern Ireland Railways, and IMO there to try to sell this vision to them as well.
Where we're starting the division here, this is, you know, we have a conference coming up now on the 28th of February, which is the Eastern Corridor Conference, which is saying is the economic powerhouse on the island of Ireland is the Eastern Corridor. And therefore, in terms, if we are a modern, vibrant, global corridor, then what we need is the infrastructure to back that up. So I suppose where we're setting is a vision that we see this tied into our concept in terms of Southern Loop Road, which actually makes the connectivity in terms of opening the whole wider area. So this is pretty important, this piece of infrastructure. Myself and Suzanne are chief executive of Belfast, have spoken a meeting with the new permanent secretary from DFI to bring it to their attention, along with TransLink. Colleague Owen Kagan's chief executive of Dublin City Council with Joe Martin and with Fingal Council are speaking a meeting with ourselves. The problem is that the South can move at a much faster pace than us. It has currently got out this document, Ireland 2040, which is setting a vision for it, which again picks up the Eastern Corridor. But we believe that as councils, and given the current political position we're in the North, it's incredibly important that we start to identify what are the key pieces of infrastructure that apply in an area. Because like a lot of other things, you know, the money may be there at this point in time, but if you don't have projects, somebody's going to come along and say at some point, we want to develop infrastructure, but hey, here's a project that we think can make a massive difference in terms of connectivity, pliability, economic growth within the area, and here we have a project that we begin to work on. So I think probably at this point, I know we have a discussion between the team and the councils, we have a bit of work to do in terms of political lobbying, and we see with the conference, you know, in the end of February, sort of putting that out there, starting to get some of the key global speakers to say the importance of projects of this coming forward. So that's just really in terms of the background to what we see this for. So it's at this point in time, it's a visioning document, but I know a lot of our dead team get to move to the next stage. If I can leave a piece of work to do to get to that stage.
Thank you, Chair.
The main thing would be turning up Belfast to Dublin Airport. I mean, that would be so useful to so many people on all the way along to Corby. Can't help but look at the map and think to myself, heading right off towards Porter Down. We would much love if you could go a wee bit further east and maybe take in the same thing. What's nice?
All good stuff. I'm going to
go to work as well.
Okay, thanks for that. Is anybody else who wants to speak? No?
Okay, it's good. We'd like to say all then for the presentation.
Yes.
We move on then to item number 6, and Jonathan's going to take us through the items from 6 down to 13. So, Jonathan? Number 7, International Relations Board.
The reports are directed from not making one of the recommendations detailed in their term in relation to the.
Again, does anybody have any comments in relation to that? We are proposing an attacking report then. Yes. Thanks, our proposed for the attacker. Yes, correspondence from Kamala District Council.
Yes, a letter from Kamala District Council in relation to the rural development program. They are requesting our support from this council in their endeavour to have the rural development program attached post Brexit in the same way that the Interreg have been termed. As well, the recommendation would be obviously to support that. We are currently working and lobbying for a new rural development program through RDC and have attended workshops on the kind of recommendation to support that.
Yeah, councillors would be supportive of that. Yeah, we're both in that and I'm supporting that. Okay. Number 9, Young Enterprise, again, yourself, Tom.
Sure, this has been a request from Young Enterprise around the vision of the tourism master class. I'm taking a kind of contribution from the council term. The recommendation here will be not to support this proposal in its current format, but maybe to work with Young Enterprise to see how we can develop something more focused for the district of Apulsa, the Northern Ireland wide program term that's only targeting a very small number of students. The term would recommend that we propose something that's more substantial with the organization.
Okay,
we'll take the district point.
Yep, on the side of the proposal, probably thank you. 10, the rural development program. Corporation scheme.
Yeah, sure, this is a proposal that's come from the Department of Agriculture and the Environment for Affairs around the National Geographic Yellow Frame Project, where they're proposing to fund a series of yellow frames across the all of the councils, five proposed reach area. The request is to locate five in the district council area. They're that the cost of our 80% intervention rate, and the recommendation is to progress this along with match one from this country term of 20,000 pounds.
Routine Europe, are you getting this one
yet? First of all, just for clarity, number 4 is not actually to be positioned in the ground for the further on up in the Gullion, just, you know, for just the machine for accuracy. And I would certainly like to propose that. I think for those of us that was around the district the other day, you know, to make sure that these five frames would be placed in areas of outstanding national beauty and significance and tied into our tourism strategy, and to have a brand like National Geographic in this district would be a huge benefit. So absolutely happy to propose that.
to get, you know, more coverage, and I presume the way that we work is some sort of
people would be limited to aid in the country. You would live right through them. But the written priority is that it actually takes you right through the whole district. You know, I found that that was one of the great key things where we had in position. You know, you go from the most northerly part right down to the most southerly part, really, in the whole county district, which actually will invigorate those areas in terms of our tourist footfall. You know, we're bringing them to some of the most remote areas. Sometimes we're all in the that's a bit valuable, unfortunately. Gotta get a frame on a bag on the But no, I feel this is a great link to like that will take tourists into sort of, you know, on what previously maybe on visited areas, you know, highly, which is great, you know. Okay, people say we'll do valuable on board.
Then we'll move on. We have a proposal in the back here for the local MBL syndicate. And here a small business grant scheme.
John, this is a pilot scheme that the department are proposing under their Tangling River Harbour Social Education Program. So they're asking the council to administer this, to roll out this program to small businesses. So they're proposing £10 to £5,000. And they're asking the council to administer this. It's for businesses that are established and have to promote and try to use it. So the recommendation would be to move the project forward with the development of the department.
Okay,
well,
yeah, it's maybe different because we already have our business program going through the bag, and I was saying fairly much the end of this one. You know, what is the difference, and should it not be really with the comments and rolled into the MGA world building the TLDI in a sense, because they're not of it. They're confusing their courses, of course, but I just thought it was kind of duplicating on the process. Because we're going after presumably the same people job in one sense, or the same clientele. You know, so it's a bit more detail on that.
The issue more, I suppose, in terms of the main thing where the value program is trying to fight for more confidence at small grants as opposed to maximum up to £5,000. Certainly, I suppose the issue is that there's more to do around, I suppose, targeting rural poverty and stuff. So the focus of the program, the cost of things coming from another wing of the department. But it's there enough on the council to administer, certainly, but you don't want to administer through that. The mainstream program is obviously less funded from a European source, it's a different source of funding. But really, it's a small nature of the grants as opposed to the, you know, obviously only the mainstream program you can't get forward. And then the pilot is decided to get up and running.
Is there any given that we have, would have been excluded beyond the kind of food production? Is that we're excluded under our live program?
Contribution of the money this year in terms of the grant end up that those proceed along. investigation that you require from.
Right. Thanks, Gerard. No, I agree with what you said. This third phase of the whole holistic scheme, I'm supporting it. You already worked on not starting the scheme and then all of a sudden have you somebody come in and make a mess of the whole thing. Let's put the course before we start this thing all the way about tribal hesitation and proposing to yourself the recommendations.
Sorry, we sat with her and the guy.
Sure, I have a report to her from the task manager that she's recommendation around moving that project forward, Sharma.
Robert Joffa Rosen, are we flagging her for that? Okay, Thomas, not you, thank you. Moving on to tourism items, number 14 is tourism and events program, and I'll be here to do
that. Chair, the paper set out proposals for the events program 1920. It includes requests for support of several international events, one of which is the UK and Ireland Pride event in August 2019. There's several proposals in there, including utilising budget overspend within this financial year to support the Pride event and committee and officers and to support the organising committee in the planning of that event. Further paper detailing the full budget for next year's tourism events programme will be brought back to members as part of the rate setting process for next financial year. And I'd just like to clarify one additional recommendation that was added to this paper, that the financial assistance call for tourism events will be open as soon as possible in the 2019 calendar year to provide support to tourism event organisers, and if any grants are awarded, to give those organisers as much time as possible to utilise any grant funding in their planning process. So the recommendations are detailed in the paper itself, Chair.
Thank you, Ollie. Rosie.
Thanks, Chair. Didn't give me a mic today. First of all, I would just like to put again on record, Maria, for the workshop that we had last week, to congratulate you and the team on the tourism events which we carried out again this year, which are proven to be so hugely successful and beneficial to the economy of the district. So again, congratulations. I think it's fantastic that so many new international tourism events are interested in coming into this district and to use the fantastic facilities and the natural resources we have. So I think that is good news. I particularly, obviously, as no doubt along with others, want to congratulate the Rainbow community on their successful bid. I know as soon as the word came out, we have been speaking to Marie about it, and Marie and Fern's doing your team, you instantly were on board with, you know, trying to support this event and acknowledging the hugely significant event that it could be within our district. So again, thank you for that, Marie. I know you were also extremely quick off the mark to contact the likes of the Irish Guide and the Central Pride last year, and also to have conversations with MITB and others regarding funding. There's no doubt that this is an event which will put Newry and the surrounding area on the map. It will be hugely successful. I think for anybody to pull off an event of this size, they need to be very coordinated and focused. And I'm delighted, Marie, that you have agreed to sit down and have a meeting with the community and also with any other potential funders, because I think the way and the only way that we will be able to deliver this is when everybody works as a collection. But I have no doubt that this will be a superb event in our district, and I am more than happy to recommend the proposal. So thank you very much, Marie.
Jordan,
how
are you next?
Thank you, Chair. I'm up to second the proposal. As far as MRC go, so $60,000 spent this year. I don't think we should spend it this way. I would rather make $60,000 would be spent evenly across the district on events that would benefit a larger percentage of our population. Concentrate all this money in one area for one group of people would be grossly unfair for the rest of the people of our district. As far as we're concerned, we would be against the recommendation.
Okay, hi. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll be very brief in this. I want to agree
body proportion side and outside the proportion of 20,000 and all the spend. But Justin Harrier said to split it up right across the district, I think we take a part of 60,000 which is the underspend of the community festivals last year, and split it up right across the district. We don't get as much money for our book. And again, here on the paper, it's right, the Pride Festival is going to be the largest ever tourism festival in the city. I can guarantee you, the division of the NRC have, and with conversations with Council, I want to thank Marie as well, for the meeting with NRC, of which I attended. And what they have in mind for the festival is going to be the biggest. That's what this area is ever seen. So I think it's key that this council relaxes. It's key that other stakeholders back, whether that's in the SNI, or in the SNI, or in the area there. So I want to second the proposal for the paper responsible for the 60,000 and promise that it will be
healthy. Thank you. Hey, Glenn, you
want to this is not about a clarification from Marie. It was 90,000 pounds of longer spell. I thought that was stuck on the right in the area, wasn't it? Not?
Chair, Marie had considered amendment on the Red Bull addendum. There was a proposal at one point for the car. The Formula One car. To raise through the streets of Kerry, but because that was it ended up with decided to say that the funding wasn't needed to allocate it, so the fund understand remains, Chair.
Was the most money spent on a toll then, Marie? Or
no, we amalgamated it into the spend of the City Merchant Festival.
Mark and stuff just to be very much the same view as I think the money would be better spent spread across the area. I know extending more bank for your work there, so you are for doing that there, but I'm just getting a little bit of alarm. So let's go there with me. If you look at the events in one thing or another, if you take Sergio and Anna, Yuri and Ryan quite out of it, to be quite honest with you, the spend is hugely centered in them area, so there's the rest of the area is not so much struggling at all. I'm slightly concerned that the money is, it does seem to go to the areas most of the time measured.
Okay, we have a proposal in the back of the
sure, can I just clarify just the word in point one, so to keep us all right, particularly as it's an underspend that's going into the next financial year. So it should be a service out agreement or the support signed and delivered to UK and Ireland in private session in year 2019 and contractual documents of any bookings made. We would need to provide from an audit trail perspective just to have contractual documents available as well that members should contend with that. So the word may refer to earlier in the document.
Okay,
I wrote down some more of these subjects.
I want to know. Number 15, the first one, the Monarch project, and obviously, how do you
do it? Yes, sir, the percent of the details that proposals to undertake a study on walking the next thing over the Clon Manor and the existing public school walking route. Recommendations are put to include a joint study with four other local authorities to establish an opportunity to develop and promote the walking route to an international audience.
Robert,
I think it's a good idea. There's already a group working on this already. Is there any chance of involving them? There are obviously two groups already looking at all these walks, and also making the sympathetic walk to the walk of St. James. Very good group, and I think maybe we would need to somewhere along the line meet up with them and see what they're doing, and not be duplicating things. And maybe help us support them and bring it up to date. Sure, I propose we'll go ahead with it, but I think we should look at what one of the groups is doing.
Okay, Glenn, you're looking at that?
Sure, I'm not exactly. I've been quite all over the way. I really did go back there to support you.
Okay,
well,
I.
Sure,
just
to
say, I supported also Agnes. This is one way to get a piece of the study. They did a culture walk, and it's about it's an extremely big draw. Making it a common balance is, I think, a driver of marketing, but also in regards to, we looked very good at the Caminos and the huge interest in Caminos. I think it's very popular in all the.
Thank you, Mike. So, what else? What is
it? It's just that ultimately, us, you know, this is how it's there, as mentioned about from Patrick, which we owe some of our other friends as well. Because they were talking in the long term about that linkage there that they're developing, and Pope Patrick, obviously, and coming right on through the year, because we didn't, and we're shooting the back of that one.
Yeah,
Yeah, through the chair, there's a working group that's currently looking at the call maps and trails throughout Ireland, talking on all the local authorities. So certainly there's other groups or other entities who want to make that group, we think we can do so for those reasons. Chair, the paper sets out recommendations to develop a new business growth plan in partnership with the centre itself, the council, and within from Tourism and I. We'll be looking to develop opportunities to enhance the visitor experience, and we're looking at how do we promote the stories in Patrick within the visitor centre and within the Patrick itself to an international audience.
Chair, just a question maybe for Andrew or Marie. I sent them some Patrick's Day Eagle Parade that came out.
It's a different issue.
No, but I want to ask a question there, sorry, Marie. It's just something different.
In relation to what's in front of us?
Yes. Have we changed our strategic approach to this now? I'm having up a 5-year business plan, and I think we do really need it, so that we need to set this out. Are we putting more effort into that? This type of a thing, and present ourselves through the likes of St. Patrick's Centre, than pushing the St. Patrick's Day Parade? Because it's much reduced, the pictures are there around St. Patrick's Day, and it's pretty much down, it's reduced from a fortnight nearly down to the day, so it's up St. Patrick's Day.
Sure, thanks for clarity. The council has received significant funding for 3-year period from Tourism and I for St. Patrick's Day Parade, and that funding in the States, so we've scaled back in accordance with our budget. This paper is something entirely different. This is about the St. Patrick's Centre, which is quite
true. I was just asking for clarification, I didn't realise that.
This paper relates to the St. Patrick's Centre, which the council currently funds under their staff agreement, and this is a business plan to ensure that funding is spent in the most appropriate manner.
No, I was just wondering, so what's my some public say the fund was much just for the day itself.
I'm just to say I was proposing Sagan, but I'm supporting the financial revenue for self
private. Maybe I think there's Ms. Tennyson with her servicing review.
Visitor information centers play an important role in welcoming our visitors into the district. This is supposed to spike the role of visitor information having changed over the past 5 to 10 years. Paper sets out recommendations to undertake a review of the visitor information services to ensure we can continue to develop that service to meet the needs of incoming visitors to the district. The council has removed Sandbar and Newcastle Harbour on an annual basis to ensure that Harbour can continue to function. This contract is due for renewal, and it represents our recommendations to undertake this procurement for a series of 3 years.
Right. Thanks, Chair. I propose accept the recommendations. Before we go there, can Sandy use the foundation camp to max out of four souls? Happy loss.
Brad?
Yes, I agree. I'm trying to because I think we have to keep all our harbour open, and particularly seeing how the use of the harbour is a big draw for tourism. Yeah. Okay. Well, the other rules are for no one unless anybody will push it through the tunnel.
Very, very good, Chair. Same with NMD, but the County Council, I think that can probably not fall. It's just a straight and the meeting of June. Does June have to come to the November meeting, and if it has, the County Council meeting in November before it's public meeting? So surely as ERD committee, we should be looking at these minutes of the last meeting and in the knowledge that say NRC are projecting to the joint meeting in January, or we're reading June's minutes. So all that sort of was kind of overhead, and we don't see it for 6 months to this.
Have we proposed like a battery, just an open venue, or like a game guy, proposed to take the battery guy?
There is some concern out there in relation to the Southern League rules and will the bridge be an opening? Because folks are currently using the canal, I mean, that's something we took the voting of the council, they're using the basin and the canal. I think it's something we need to take a position on, certainly discuss, take a position on, not just going to have a negative impact on the use of the canal and what we're potentially going to do with it. So do you think it's something we should take a closer look at it sometime? Thank you.
Chairman, as it stands, you know, the budget against it is still in a very indicative position, as you probably realise, in terms of the environmental works. There's been a lot of works in terms of the canals and the structure, so also it needs to be in terms of there. But the final decision regarding that will be part of the consultation, but the economics of this could still make a difference in this, you know. So while, yes, we at this point in time, everything's involved into it, that doesn't mean to say as we come down, you know, there may be choices we need to make on it. And again, this may be a choice we may need to make at a different stage. So can't give any credit. Again, it's not a council, direct council project. It's a DFI project because the council is still pushing for as a strategic project. But in terms of the final decision on it will be an issue for DFI, which will be part of the consultation.
But there's an item that we can...
You know, the point is with making it is, I think, the funding, the budget line we've excluded, I think, in the city deal is 120 million, and 120 million includes for Lifton Bridge onto it. But again, Lifton Bridge is £20 million. That's the element of it. The element also depends on who, there's a number of issues which will have to consider in that area, you know, for the number of times they're tall ship, because if you carry boats, and just the tall ships will be an issue in terms of getting in on the bridge. And that's it. You know, so you're talking about 20 million for the number of times a tall ship will come up the canal. That's a question we need to answer. The other thing is if you put in a Lifton Bridge, that will have to be opened and maintained on a regular basis. So there'll be a cost to that. So I imagine that conversations we'll be having later on is who's going to pay for that cost, who's going to maintain it, who's going to open and close the bridge, and who's going to take that cost. And it's going to be an economic argument. There's going to be an economic argument around with versus a political argument on it. So, but I think so. Let's put it this way: there's no point in getting into a row at this point in time. Let's get it done. Let's get it moved, and then we can discuss that part of it later on. You know.
Earlier route which crossed right across from the Northbank Road, directly, but
I think Barry's right. I think we needed cement into our thinking what sort of relief from, you know, service sort of purpose reference to traffic and get traffic away from one HCV, traffic away from one bike and improving the air quality and hearing and so on. But one of the things from the very beginning was that we cross the canal and leave the canal so that we could take tall ships in the air. It's the first mention I have heard that may not be the case, and to say that when we get on with Lee and talk about it later on, I don't think that, you know, I think this person needs to really come out and say exactly what the Southern Relief Group means to this area and what we work on. And one of that was that boats and ships could travel up into the upper basin.
Okay. Yeah, Chairman, I suppose it has been a part of the discussion. It's not new. I said there's no point in us naming our hats to the mask of this fine thing. Something like a pig's tail for the metaphors. It's still, there is a piece of infrastructure required. It has always been a question, it's budget for this point in time. It would be wrong for me to say to you that there's some point when you might have to go back and reconsider on the basis of an economic album, because there will be a cost. Somebody's going to ask the question in 2021, 2022, who's going to pay for this additional cost, and who's going to pay for the maintaining of it? Now, if the council's saying is that it wants to pay for the maintaining of it and the opening and closing of it, you know, that may make a difference, but it's an issue which we'll have to consider forward on. The council's position is it wants an opening bridge, and that's our position at this point in time, but it will be something I'd say we'll have to come back to.
Okay, thank you. Okay, also, okay.